If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Axar Command. This evening we have a very inspiring topic, and the topic is a new interview. So we are seeing the world anew, and many of us will have reference points for our shift more in terms of what it isn't rather than what it is. Sometimes you catch the dynamics of the inner transformation more by noticing what's no longer present and real for you in terms of your perception and your consciousness. So let's start as we usually do with an attunement. So take a deep breath. Just quiet yourself, close your eyes, relax. And just place yourself in your mind's eye, in the place that you would consider your most ideal sanctuary setting. Whether it's a woodland glen, or in the Garden of Grace aboard Axar's ship. Or you perhaps have your own inner sanctuary. It doesn't matter really, because the Lord is wherever you are. The presence of God lives in you, dwells within you, is nearer to you than your breath, more intimate than your heartbeat. Wherever you are, you're in the presence of God. Get used to sensing that presence. Catch yourself different times of the day and night, different activities that you're involved with. And just remind yourself, I'm in the presence of God right now. I live and move, have my being in God. I rest in God like the planets rest in space. Wherever I am, God is. So place yourself visually in your special quiet sanctuary. And the Lord would like to speak to you tonight, face-to-face and directly, because he would like you to become more and more accustomed to instant communication, instant access. Because from now on, we're going into the deep, deep waters of higher and higher levels within the divine ocean of love and mercy that we call the all that is. We're going into deeper waters now. And the Lord will teach you how to walk upon those waters, just like he does. So that you can skip upon the rough waters and storms of life with nary a care or concern. As long as you have your eyes on him, you will be able to walk on water. Just don't look at the storm. Don't look at the water. Keep your eyes on him. So now as you sit in your special place, just imagine, pretend, or intend, if you can't visualize really well, just intend that before you is the face of the Lord. And look into those beautiful eyes. And feel the aura of the Beloved. Completely join and merge with your own aura. See your chakras align with the chakras of the Beloved. And begin to breathe in and out in perfect cadence and rhythm with the Beloved. Draw very near what you're actually inhaling, the Lord's breath. Even though the breath that you exhale is actually the Lord's breath in you. Feel the conjoining of the energies of your breathing, your chakras. Now allow the sense of a separate body to just kind of vanish. And feel yourself completely joining with the Lord Jesus, the Christ, in perfect oneness and harmony. His body is yours. Your body is His. There's no difference. Allow that vibration of the Beloved to begin to raise your atoms, your electrons, and all the subatomic and atomic particles of your being. Let them come into a perfect harmonic chord with that of the Lord, whatever would be for your highest rate and highest good. And the Lord is going to impart a message to you after we go off the air. You can sit quietly and you will remember it and you will write it down. It's just for you. It will have special significance to you. And He will confirm His word. Either you will see it written somewhere, you'll notice it, somebody will speak something similar, you'll hear a song with similar lyrics. He will find some way to validate His word to you, to let you know it really was His word to you. So just allow it to come. It will arise in your mind very naturally. It will just bubble to the surface. And He would like you to know that any time you have a question, if you will sit quietly with Him, the answer will arise to the surface of your mind. In fact, the next time you try to remember something and you've forgotten a phone number or somebody's name, try that. Say, Lord, what is that person's name? What is that phone number? And then sit very quietly. And you'll notice that His response rises to the surface of your mind very gently, very easily. You will find that in all the questions that you have as we proceed onward into this new earth, you will find a closer and closer and clearer communication inwardly with the Beloved. So work to cultivate that clear receivership. Keep your mind still and uncluttered with worry and worldly concerns. Put everything in your life in the Lord's hands. This time is for the Lord. You've had enough time and years of escapades in the world. This time is all about the Lord and becoming one in consciousness and in experience with the Beloved. You've always been one with the Beloved, but the mind has believed something else. And so to gain that reference point of that union and that nearness and dearness that you have, really and truly, requires a setting aside the customary patterns of thinking and distraction, and beginning to cultivate that presence. And you will find ways to do that that are workable for you within your own life and context. But I find that a very good one to start with for a lot of people is to sit down, perhaps tonight, after you've received your message from the Lord, and write a letter from your heart. Just anything that comes up for you. Your hopes, your fears, your dreams, your doubts, your questions. Just lay it all out. Write that letter and sign it and date it and put the time that you wrote it. And then fold it and tuck it away somewhere, maybe in a Bible, maybe on your altar. Just tuck it away. Or maybe you just keep it in a notebook where you write to the Lord. It's a good idea to do that periodically. Many people do that. Once a month, or even every day. It just depends on what you feel called to do. You can also write questions down and sit very quietly. And you'll notice that the answers rise very gently and softly into your mind as a perfect stream of thought. It may sound like your own voice, but the wisdom that comes forward, the answers, the clarity. Sometime later, when you look back on your notebook and you reread what you wrote, you're going to be astounded. It's like, my heavens, that was so accurate. Wow. So these are ways that you can walk in that presence, which we are all going to need to do as we complete our earth walk and as we make that wonderful shift into the new earth. Now, some of you have already made the consciousness shift into the new earth, because we have been in the process of being transformed by the divine spirit, because the spirit is being poured forth on all people today. And the divine spirit is the transforming, conforming, and reforming inner process that's taking place, that's bringing us into that state that we were originally formed by God to walk in as radiant and glorious Christ-like beings of light. That process really is a divine workmanship that has little to do with us. You've probably heard the phrase, the potter's wheel. Well, we've been like on the potter's wheel. And that clay of the fleshly self has been being worked and reworked and worked and reworked. But actually, I like the analogy of the goldsmith even better, because the goldsmith knows that the gold is perfect when he sees his image perfectly reflected in the surface of the gold. So I prefer that. So we're in the hands of the goldsmith, but the goldsmith also pounds and melts and does all sorts of things to the gold to get the gold, the impurities out of the gold, and to get it burnished to the proper golden sheen. So we've all been through that process. And this transformation has been taking place for the simple reason that we've been asking, praying, believing, and receiving God into our lives as never before. And just as he has promised we are being changed from glory to glory into the divine image. So even though it doesn't seem like it at times, because things can be very messy, while we are spending more time in divine communion, contemplation, stillness, and soaking in the divine presence, or in the fire of adversity, you know, it's happening all the time, or in the midst of our shrek and our freakouts, whatever, wherever. Sometimes you remember God when you're screaming for help, as many of us here in Southern California have been doing with all these fires. You know, everybody's praying and calling to God for help. So, however you do it, the Holy Spirit comes in and is setting us free. The truth is setting us free, just as Jesus had promised. So the Holy Spirit that's being poured into us and through us and is transforming us is the Spirit of truth, revelation, and the inner transformer that sanctifies and bringing us into a godlike representation, a godlike nature. Our nature is godlike inwardly, so now the outer is going to conform to that inner. So those of you that are serving as the vanguard of the new consciousness, the leaders, let's say, my showers of the new paradigm, we have to go through this first. And since we don't really have any precedent other than Jesus, who has actually gone through this entire shift, we really have to follow near and dear and kind of imitate him as much as we can and whatever it was he said and did and represented, because that's our model to show us how to move into the kingdom of God and live as kingdom representatives. So I'm going to go into some of the changes that have been going on inside of us. It's been going on inside of me, so I imagine it's going inside of everyone. And one of the things that many of us are experiencing is our own personal, and I would say even collective, null zone. Well, the null zone experience is where all of a sudden there is a sense of a void, an emptiness with nothing happening. And it can be accompanied by a feeling of losing touch or even connection. I know some people have emailed to me that they felt like they were abandoned. They couldn't connect with the command or with God, or they just felt like they were losing touch or, you know, had lost their connection. And the truth is, the connection has become more imminent and interior, and there's less of a sense of an outer difference. The inner is the place to look now, rather than the outer, more phenomenal and maybe more tactile sense of connecting. Because it's just like the bird in the air, a dove, the bird is really consciously aware of the air. It is aware of the different drifts of the wind, but is the bird aware of the air? No. Not any more than the fish is aware of the sea. And so man, when he lives and moves and has his being in God, really, there's a different reference point than when you're outside of that connection and you have it sporadically, which then it tends to be rather phenomenal. It really gets your attention. But then when that becomes integrated more and more, you have less and less of a difference. It just becomes as natural as your next breath. So that is implying a progression, certainly not a losing of touch or connection. So you go into the null zone when one energetic grid drops and is being replaced by a different energetic grid, which is exactly what's happening. So in truth, you are, and we are, in the very process of making that shift into the higher consciousness grid. And the old momentums are no longer being energized. and the new are in process of being set into place. So, of course, you're not going to particularly feel like you did before. You're not going to have the same ambition or motivation or any of that. You're going to be in a kind of a holding pattern, as many people say. I guess I'm just in a waiting pattern. But make it a passive waiting in the sense that you consciously seek the presence of the Lord. How do you do that? Well, you sit down very quietly and still everything, just like we did when we sat down this evening for this show. Then you take a deep breath, and you place yourself in your mind's eye, face to face with the Lord. You would sit, you know, across the table from the Lord, or side by side with the Lord, or however you want to let it be. Because where you place your intention, that's where you are. That's the secret, the whole secret of soul travel, or soul projection, or bilocation, or being caught away in the spirit. The whole secret is simply to place your intention where you would be, and place all of your attention there. In other words, be fully into that commitment of where you place your intent. And when you do that 100%, you will find yourself bilocated there. And that's all there is to bilocation. It's just simply being 100% present with where you place your intention. So, you're moving into a place of trusting acceptance when you go into this null zone. And all you need to do is just be present in loving observation. Just pay attention to your process. Don't obsess on it, but just kind of be the observer and just kind of kick back and watch yourself and what's going on around you. And be patient, because everything that is for you forever. You can't lose what is yours. So impatience really is the little false self throwing a temper tantrum because it doesn't get what it wants when it wants it. But that part is the part that we learn to focus and discipline and lovingly remind it as much as you have to, that all is well, and everything that is marked for you will find you at the perfect time and place. So the greatest portion of our mission actually takes place in what we call the 90% levels, which involve our inner work, our inner transformation, our multidimensional levels of operation within the Astral Command, within the Brotherhoods of Light, and not what we do physically at all. In fact, the more you study spiritually and the more you meditate, you realize that the world that you think is so real is actually a reflection. It's a reflection from activities that are taking place on a much, much higher level. And so nothing that you see in the outer world is actually what it is. It's just an appearance. And that appearance eventually dissolves, and you find yourself back, as I so often say, where you've never left, within the heart of God. So just bear in mind that you don't have to remember and have conscious knowledge of all of these levels. I mean, that's a bit too much for the human brain to have to carry around all day. Just know and trust that the greater part of your life at this time is lived in 90% unconscious awareness. But that doesn't invalidate it. It just means that your beta level, your conscious self, is more required here at this level than your multidimensional self. Although in time, you know, you bring more and more of that integration present, if you need to. Not everybody needs to do that. But if you need to do that, you'll find that you are doing that and will do that. And if you don't need to do that, you won't be doing that. Just that simple. But it doesn't mean that you're not developed spiritually. It doesn't mean that you're not fulfilling your mission. So your greatest acts and most selfless acts of service, your great acts of heroic proportions are usually done at those higher levels. I was just out of body for the last several days, working, I would say, 24/7 around the clock to try to keep the fire from consuming our transmission towers here in Los Angeles and our beautiful 100-year-old observatory. And you know what? I wasn't alone. You guys were there, too. We were all working for all we were worth to save lives, to save property, to save animals, livestock, little creatures of the forest. My gosh, we were really, really busy. And you probably didn't even know it, but you probably felt really, really tired and drained. One day I was actually panting like a dog. I was so exhausted and I couldn't actually catch my breath. I was dizzy, I was nauseated, my body was all swollen, everything hurt. And it was just simply the stress and the strain of multidimensional work and service that we're doing. So don't expect yourself necessarily to feel great when we are doing so many things on so many levels. And it does take a toll on the physical body. So much of our inner realigning and adjusting is taking place in the unconscious portion of our awareness, that if you could actually see it, you'd be amazed. And sometimes when you have a dream of seeing them, many of you report meeting with members of the command or having someone appear to you on the inner planes. I would like to suggest to you that you realize that's you. You're actually meeting yourself at that level. And you'll usually think it's your high self or your master or whatever, but it's actually part of your multidimensional self that will in time integrate with you, and once you've integrated with it, you won't see it anymore. So again, you might tend to think, oh my gosh, I've lost contact with that person. Where did they go? They've left me. No, that was you, and that consciousness has now integrated. So part of the ascension process is meeting and ascending many aspects of the self. You have many, many, many ascensions before that final shift. And the many ascensions usually take place on the inner plane. So I've had many, many myself. So I'm assuming everybody will go through that as well. Now, what you may begin to notice will be, you'll just be at peace with your process. And you won't have any way of explaining why you feel peaceful. I mean, things that used to upset you, freak you out, frighten you. You'll notice that reactive part of you just isn't there. It's like you're watching things from a different level of yourself. And like we didn't know whether or not we were going to have to evacuate here with a fire. So as we watched the skies turn yellow and black and the sun turn bright red, and we weren't really sure where the fires were, I started looking around and thinking, okay, if we have to evacuate and we have just seconds to get out of here, what would I grab? It was so funny, you know. I thought, well, I'll grab Sai Baba's book, my Bible, Course in Miracles, and the Keys of Enoch. You know, I didn't even think about clothes. How funny is that? So here I'm going to be sitting in the evacuation shelter with three books, right, and Sai Baba's robe and a plastic sweater bag. How funny is that? But, you know, it gets down to where you think, well, what's my life all about? What's really important to me? And I suppose the thing that's most important to me, aside from my relationship with God, is His Word. You know, it's truth. It's knowing truth. And I personally like those three books. I think they're the best books on the planet. And they just tell you everything that you need to know about everything. Anyway, I thought that was interesting, the process I went through as I thought about evacuating. So, the peace that you are experiencing as you shift into this new grid is the first thing I notice, is just this deep peace. Just, oh, it's like anything could have happened, and I just really didn't care. Just didn't bother me much, whether it did or it didn't or anything. It just, whether I live, whether I die, whether I'm here, whether I'm there, none of it just really means anything to me at all. It's that sense of security you have in your own divine beingness. And that's eternal. You can't lose who you are. When you know who you are in God, there's nothing better than that, because it's your eternal identity. And that gives you a sense of security and safety and peace like nothing else. So I think many of us have started to no longer really believe the world's rhetoric. You know, there's always, you know, concern about this and concern about that, and now it's, you know, some flu and shots and all that stuff and rumors and worries and concerns and the usual projections of lack and scarcity and fear and worldly instability. And, you know, it just doesn't register anymore. We have departed the world and its values and its spiel and its Shrek, and all of the stuff that goes on just doesn't, you know, it's like water off a duck's back. It just doesn't get into our feathers anymore. So it's almost like you view all of what's going on in the outer world in such a detached manner that the lack of fear is what is so characteristic. I notice I don't even have a startle reflex anymore. I just, you know, the fear is just gone. It's just a deep, incredible peace. So your inner knowing, regardless of what's going on in the outer world, once you've made that shift, is that all is well, even if you can't always explain why you feel that way. Because you're going to feel that all is well despite all appearances and all prognoses, and you just feel this inner sense of calm and security. So that's a state that's often referred to as the rest of the Lord. You are resting in the Lord. And you're in that rest, even though you go about your day busily doing whatever it is that you need to do what you do. So it's a state of consciousness. It's not a passivity. It's not laziness. It's not just lying around in apathy. It's an inner state that's quite portable. So how did that happen? Well, we gave you a little exercise, actually, to trigger a recall, because you've already met with the Lord. Every one of you have been carried up in the spiritual levels and have met with the Lord. And even though very few of us remember this, we no longer feel any fear about the future. And the reason you don't feel any fear about the future is because what you were told. So now after the show goes off the air, I want you to bring that through consciously and write it down, whatever it was that the Lord told you. But, and you know, that's not the only thing He wants to tell you. There's lots of things to tell you. But He wants you specifically to register this meeting that everybody has had just recently with the Lord. So you have been called up in a way, in the spirit, so to speak, and marked, as the scriptures state. So you have that mark in your third eye that shows that you're the mark to the Lord. And what does that mean? Well, it's an energetic signature in the third eye area that designates your spiritual preparedness, let's say, for the ascension. And it's very visible to the Masters and to the Ashur Command and to everyone that is able to see at that level and to read that. So your real mission is beginning really from this moment onward. And now you're being guided more directly by the inner spirit to refocus and reprioritize as best you can while you're still here. In many cases, you may find yourself going through your possessions and getting rid of things that you no longer find any value in. And some of you have emailed me and you've been really amazed at how little significance most of those things that you used to really love have for you now. I feel much the same way. You may find yourself walking away from relationships or organizations or groups or teachers or teachings because suddenly they just aren't doing it for you anymore. The alignment is just not there. And it's amazing because with your new levels of clarity and spiritual attunement, you can see so clearly where people are at, where they're coming from. And once you can see that, it's like you're no longer in that. Because when you're like really that, you don't really see that. So we see again by what is no longer so for us, or what is yet to be for us, rather than what we are actually in attunement with. So oddly enough, some of you may doubt the feelings that you're having, and may even judge yourself for seeing people and everything with greater and even stark clarity, which may to you seem kind of critical because, you know, when you see things sometimes as they are, you know, in their unfinished state, they look pretty flawed. So you may find yourself amazed as you look through entirely new eyes at the people and things in your life. And rather abruptly decide, this goes, that stays, this goes, that stays. I mean, you don't mean to be ruthless, but it's like the spirit within you is taking the reins of your life and is calling the shots now. And that's why you find yourself doing things without really a whole heck of a lot of conscious decision. It's just like, this is what's being done through you, and you kind of find yourself holding on to the ride. So there's also a new courage and self-confidence that's arising within you. And you have a certainty that, yes, this is what I must do. And somebody might say, well, why? It's like, I don't know, but I just know this is what I must do. So needless to say, this will cause a lot of upheaval and upset in your personal life and relationships, and you may even feel shocked at yourself because that inner wise person now seems to be taking over the reins of your life. And that inner wise person is the great I Am that I am. So allow the I Am that I am to clear away the debris from your life and to reposition you for your place on the ascended earth. That's what this is all about. You are being, you're being promoted. That's what I'm trying to say. You're being promoted to a new level, a new job assignment, a new rank in your expression. So there will be times. And they often come after sundown, in the night, when you may experience sudden doubt, even fear, and issues of that nature. So when that happens, and it comes in the night, when the prana and the sun dissipates during the day, and more of a negative psychic energy comes in from the moon, during the night, that's when fear and doubt, and often arguments, will happen. So that's where you need to be very directive and set in new guidelines for your mind and your expression. In other words, if you have to talk to somebody or discipline somebody or settle some issue, do it during the morning or during the early part of the afternoon. Don't wait until nightfall. And when your mind starts to cause you concern or worry in the middle of the night or, you know, after sunset, issue an ultimatum that we will no longer worry or think about things that we can't do anything about at night. You can only relax and sleep. That's it. And you just trust God to handle all the details. So I did that with my mind, and oh, what a relief. So anytime my mind tried to say, oh, we have to worry about this, it's like, no, we don't. We don't even have to do a thing about that tonight. The only thing we need to do is sleep. And when you sleep, you go out of your body, you go on the inner planes, you work through a whole bunch of stuff. And that's why when you come back in the morning, sometimes you have your answers. Sometimes you know exactly what you need to handle your problem. And sometimes, even better, the problem is resolved on another level, and you don't even have to deal with it at all. And I found that when you prioritize God's business, He will totally prioritize your business and take care of the details for you. I've lived like that now for some years, and it's definitely better than me trying to worry about how to do a lot of stuff that I didn't have a clue to how to handle. So, there's a lot of stuff that we just don't need to bother our heads with, particularly now. We cannot dictate and control what's happening on the planet. We can just step out of the world and the planetary doings and walk as one of God's people in the higher consciousness, in the higher grid alignment. So the major message that God would like you to hear is fear not, for it is my great pleasure to give you my kingdom and all I have because I love you unconditionally. You are my beloved. That's what God wants every single one of us to hear. So you are being repositioned from living under the laws of the old earth to living by loving grace in the new earth. Can you imagine a life which is not one iota of struggle and strife? So you will shift your entire inner focus from one of doing. You know, you're not going to be asking yourself, oh, I don't know what to do, or what should I do, or what do you want me to do? That's going to vanish. And the directive, the new directive, is delighting yourself. Delighting yourself in the presence of the beloved, celebrating life, savoring and relishing the sweetness and wonder of each moment. Oh, there's sweetness, there's deliciousness. You know, when you abide in that presence, oh, my heavens. Well, you know, those of you that have had that experience, I won't have to go into any detail because you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And those that you haven't had this experience yet, well, you will have it. And when you do, then you will go forth and tell other people. Oh, there's such sweetness when you dwell in the presence of the beloved. Every single minute is sweet, peaceful, and full. You have no desire for anything, no need for anything, no desperation to make anything happen. There's just that deep sense of presence and peace, and the beloved, and joy. And, you know, the world's your oyster. You can do whatever you want, go wherever you want, experience and express however, wherever, however. But the presence goes with you. You dwell in that. And another thing I've noticed is that certain rigid rules, like we all set up this these sense of the way things should be within our consciousness. But suddenly you'll find that these are gone. It's like the Holy Spirit has removed a whole bunch of these old structures, consciousness constructs. They've just been vanished out of our minds. So you might go leaning back into that area expecting to feel that rigid rule. There's nothing there. There's just vacuity. It's just space. And, you know, for some people, like a infant that's used to being swaddled, you know, when you just let it open to the open air without anything binding it, sometimes it just flails its arms and legs and cries because it has no sense of boundary. Sometimes we feel a little bit like that. It's very naked feeling. It's very, it's a little too vast. It's like we're too used to the cage. So that in itself presents its own challenge as we learn to live in a vast presence that doesn't have a lot of definition to it. It's just all-pervasive sense of beingness and isness. I like to say, I'm living in the is that is. As the I am that I am. But it's more of an is, just the is that is. So as you discover new this space, you'll find that there will also be new areas of interest and talents that will suddenly be available for you to explore if you want to. I mean, there's, again, no have-tos. But you'll find you're just open to many things that before maybe you didn't have the time or the space or the allowance within your own levels to accommodate. So you may change careers, living locations, religious affiliations. You may drop out of the social networks or your websites and web groups. Or you may find yourself suddenly get involved in any and all of those things. Perhaps new ways, perhaps the old ways, but in a new way. So, again, movement and change, but very, again, very subtle. It's more of an inner recognition, like, wow, I can do this now, or wow, I never realized it, but, I can do that. Or you might think, you know, I've always thought I wanted to do that, but truth is, I really don't. So randomity of consciousness is very characteristic of spirit. You can't confine it, define it. It just is like the wind. It blows where it wants to blow and does what it's going to do, and you have really no control over it. So the consciousness that's filled with the Holy Spirit has that spontaneity in it. And it's nothing is set, you know, in concrete. It's constant malleability and motility. And moldability can always take different forms. And likewise, your understanding of things will shift. One day you may believe one thing and think one way, and the next day you may have a whole different consciousness about it. Again, that's part of this multidimensional nature of the self that's in all things, as all things, believes all things, trusts all things, knows all things. Because the truth is, you are the spirit that knows all things. And it's just pure and simple the way it is. And now you're becoming familiar with yourself in a new way. So just know that the new energy is always liberating. It always has a happy flow to it. It's easy, breezy, free, fun. And yet, interestingly enough, it's very responsible. It responds. It has the capacity to respond with great sensitivity and great discernment and great appropriateness. So it's a very conscious awareness, even though it's very free and happy and flowing. It's also very accountable and self-directive and intensely alive. So you're becoming more and more sensitive to the inner spirit and very true to what you sense is right for you. It's like you just are really learning how to be true to yourself. And with that goes the discerning of what you are and are not willing to be involved with. You find yourself very reluctant to make commitments to people and things in the outer world. And that, believe me, is really wise. Because we're in such a time of change that it's good not to lay in any, you know, concrete plans for what you think you have to do. Leave yourself plenty of option. I always say, you know, God willing, or, you know, if it seems appropriate when that time comes, yes, you know, agree to it now, keeping in mind that things could change between now and then. And that way you're not locked into things. So you're learning how to be a spirit-led and spirit-directed person all the time. And God created you for this very purpose, so that he could one day fully indwell and express in you, through you, and as you. So you and God are one, just like Jesus said, the Father and I are one. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So now you can also say, the Father and I are one. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Or Father, Mother, if you prefer. Actually, I don't consider God a gender, but it's quite biblical, because in the beginning God created man in his image and likeness. In their image and likeness, male and female created he. So, you know, there is Father, Mother, God in the highest sense of the word, but more as energies of directive and receptive qualities, not so much in the anthropomorphic gender definition that we think of as in the human state. So there is now in most of us, many of us, maybe not most of us, but in many of us, a sense of somehow having arrived at a new level with that sweet breeze of freedom at our back, and it's caressing our curls as we survey the world through the gentle gaze of the redeemed and the restored human. So you will no longer feel any reaction as you watch the world dramas wind down and come to their natural closure. You kind of regard it as a play, and that's all that it is. It's a play of consciousness and consciousness interactions and dynamics. But they will all come to their natural denouement, and you as a spiritual being just, you know, regard them with love and compassion and let them do what they're going to do. But you have seen the Lord, and the Lord has written his word of truth and revelation upon the inner scroll of your consciousness. So now you know the meaning of the statement, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And you might ask, well, when, Lord, when did I abide in you? And he will reply, every time you responded from your heart with love and forgiveness, with mercy and charity, you were abiding in me. And every time you acted in faith, believing and trusting me, you were abiding in me. And my word was abiding in you. And every time you chose to follow me and my word, rather than the ways of the world, you were abiding in me and actively practicing my word. Now you may enter in and enjoy the wedding banquet and feast to your heart's content. So what has begun now on earth in our physical bodies will be completed in an instant as the grid shift and the rapturous ascension process catches us up to at last complete this whole journey of consciousness as we are caught up in Christ's consciousness. And that which is of the old world is transformed into the golden raiment of the new earth. And the mortal becomes immortal light. And this is what we have been preparing for every moment of our lives. And now the moment of our collective emergence from the human chrysalis into the divine image and likeness of our Creator is drawing near. So the most astounding discovery for every one of us, the inevitable discovery, is that Christ lives inside of us. We are the very dwelling place, the temple for God's own Spirit. And the Anointed One that we call the Christ lives in you and expresses through you. So, that is the glorious revelation that is taking place in those of us that truly are the love of God made manifest. So let's go out chanting, Anai Hiu. Deep breath. Anai Hiu. Anai Hiu. at a time.